This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Since its inception, the Taft Museum of Art's Duncanson Artist-in-Residence program has highlighted the work of Black artists from multiple disciplines. Now, for the first time in the program's history, the artist-in-residence is someone who uses food to spark conversations about race and power. Joining me now are Cook and the 2024 Duncanson Artist-in-Residence, Tunde Wei. Welcome to the program, Tunde.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Taft Museum of Art President and CEO, Rebecca Bollier. Thanks for being here, Rebecca.
Of course, my pleasure.
Tunde, how do you describe yourself and your work as an artist?
It's a big, big question. I'll start with my work. I think of my work as using experiments and using absurdity as a way to like point out these like systemic conditions that are marginalized folks. So leaning into absurdity, because I think the issues that we're talking about, like racism or economic injustice, are absurd themselves. So that's how I see my work. And then the way food comes in is, I think food is a way that, it's just like very common, or in fact, universal experience. And so I think food is disarming. And so when folks come together to eat, I think there's an opportunity there to have more than just dining happen. So that's how I would describe my work. How I would describe myself, I'm a glorious being.
I love that. I read a quote that you that had quoted you as saying that you are a Nigerian artist, cook, and writer who uses Nigerian food to interrogate colonialism, capitalism, and racism. Talk more about how you do that.
So I think the Nigerian part is important, right? So I came to the United States when I was 16, about 24 years ago. And being in the United States as a Nigerian boy at the time, I was aware, even past my 16 years, just living in the U.S., I was aware very, very much so that I was an immigrant, that I wasn't American, not only because most of my immediate family was in Nigeria, but also, my accent, my access, all of that reminded me. And so my perspective is Nigerian in that I think of the world as having a material hierarchy. And if there is such a thing, and if I'm right, and if this hierarchy has a bottom, I'm sure that bottom exists in many places in the world. But one of those places has to be Nigeria, right? Because of, the sort of where we are in the economic system globally. And so the perspective that there is like a particular kind of tragedy that is that affects the continent, that also affects in the US, Black folks, brown folks, indigenous folks, that's what motivates my work. And then using Nigerian food to talk about that is, well, poetic in a sense, because I'm using the food of this place that I think reflects this larger global tragedy to talk about the tragedy, but also folks are generally unfamiliar with Nigerian food. And so I think gathering people around Nigerian food, just if you're adventurous enough to try something new, maybe you're adventurous enough to like have a different perspective.
Hmm. Rebecca, as I mentioned, Tunde's the Duncanson Artist in Residence mm-hmm. this year for the Taft. Explain that program briefly and tell us a bit about Robert S. Duncanson.
So Robert S. Duncanson was an African-American artist who was a painter in the mid-19th century. And while his home base kind of varied throughout his life, at times it was in Cincinnati, it was in Detroit, in Montreal, we always consider him really to be a Cincinnati artist. And one reason for that is that we have a suite of murals at the Taft Museum of Art that date back to about 1850. 1950. At that time, Nicholas Longworth was the owner of the home, and he actually commissioned Robert S. Duncanson to create these murals. So because Robert S. Duncanson was such an incredible artist, really the foremost, one of the foremost painters, period, in America at the time, but kind of popularly recognized as the first Black formally trained American artist in the country, that we really look at that as a part of our story at the Taft Museum that we want to continue on. So really, when we talk about the Artist in Residence program, it's an opportunity for us to honor that artistic legacy, really, of Black and Brown artists.
And Rebecca, this is the first time you've had a culinary artist
for
the residency. Why did you all choose Tunde?
Well, I think something that really impressed us about Tunde and his work was the idea that he was looking not just at the creation of food as something that is to be shared and community-oriented, which is something we already knew that we were focused on, right? Any of the artists that we work with, it's really, this is an opportunity to create a community exchange in some way. But what we liked was the fact that he really was a social practice artist. And when we talk about social practice artists, that means that we are pushing the boundaries. We are being reflective on both the honoring the strengths and recognizing the deficiencies of our social constructs. And so for us, we knew that that was going to be something that was going to resonate not only with us at the Taft Museum of Art in our community, but with Cincinnati as a whole. Mm.
We're talking with the Taft Museum of Art's 2024 Duncanson Artist in Residence about the impact he hopes to have on the community while he's here. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Tunde, I'm going to get to that question about the impact you hope to have, but first, what made you interested in becoming the 2024 Duncanson Artist in Residence?
I was lucky enough to receive an invitation by email to apply. And when I learned about sort of like the residency, and just, I have confirmed this through my experience over the last couple of months working with the Taft, but in learning about the residency, the thing that stood out was the strong institutional support. And I think for artists, because oftentimes a lot of this work is done independently, it does start to feel a little desperate, you know. So this residency, I think it was an opportunity for me to do work supported by an institution and then have that work be really amplified and broadcast. And so, yeah, so that's really what drew me to the residency. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about what you mean when you say the work can start to feel desperate.
I think creating, just like the process of creation, even if you're in collaboration, but often when you're doing it by yourself, is just, it requires a lot of positive reinforcement that may not always be there. And I know for me, and I'm sure maybe for some other folks who do so, who have an artistic practice, our inner critic, that sort of voice that like can be helpful in that it helps push us to be better, can also be undermining and hurtful. And so when you're in your own space creating, you have all of these like conflicting feelings, ideas, and also materially you're constrained. So that is the sort of like desperation that I'm talking about, like, you know, facing like material challenges, like, you know, finding money to do the work that you want to do and to support yourself, but also dealing with, you know, questions of like self-worth, but also the value of the work that you're creating in isolation. So having institutional support, like folks who, like the Taft, can, you know, support the work administratively, encourage the work emotionally and artistically, I think is so needed.
Tunde, how has your culture and experience as an immigrant shaped your art?
I mean, again, like going back to this sense of or this idea of the hierarchy of things, you know, if you're in a country and you're not from the country, but you're also, say, like I was at a particular time undocumented, you know, that's a pretty like, you know, to use the word again, desperate place. There are so many states, communities, cities in America that are not just you know on that are hostile to undocumented folks. So I think this idea of isolation is a running theme, and an idea the notion of justice and injustice and what is fair is also a theme because of I think parts of my life experience. And so that has definitely shaped the work that I do. But I do also want to say, like, you know, no existence is like completely desperate. And especially for me, I was lucky enough to have family and community that supported my work. But I think intellectually, I am interested in, you know, the experience of like materially marginalized folks. Because of not just where I come from and my own experience, but because I think that is like a common denominator that we can all agree on and maybe address.
Well, and what I've read about some of your work in the past is that you've also highlighted issues like gentrification. Can you, for people who maybe aren't familiar with some of your work, can you explain how you've used food to really highlight issues like, you know, gentrification or you know, wage gaps, things like that?
Yeah, so I think what comes to mind are two specific projects that I did, one in Nashville and the other in New Orleans. The Nashville project, I probably can't repeat the name on the radio, but
Appreciate that.
the idea was, you know, a community in northern Nashville, I believe, was under threat of gentrification. Nashville at the time, and I think maybe still is, was one of the fastest gentrifying cities in the state, you know, there was, I'm sorry, in the country. And so we're thinking about ways, I was thinking about ways to, you know, comment on this. And so the eventual solution that I settled on, you know, speaking, going back to this idea of absurdity, is selling hot chicken, which is a Nashville dish, selling hot chicken in exchange for home deeds. And having these home deeds be given to Black folks so that they could stay in their community. What ended up happening was we didn't actually get any deeds, but we did sell hot chicken for like $150,000 or $100,000, and then that money was donated to a community land trust. The idea was that that land trust then begins to steward home properties in service of the community. So that's one project. The other project was a food store, a food stand that I had where I gave white people the option to pay double or 10 times their 10 times the cost of the standard meal. And these cost disparities reflected the racial wealth disparity, which is at the time, and I'm sure it still is, you know, white households have 10 times more wealth than Black households, and also the racial wage gap, which at the time in New Orleans, white folks made, I think, 1.5 times more than Black folks. So the idea was to show in practice the cost burden on folks of color to Black folks specifically, you know, to live, you know, comfortable or at least materially comfortable lives.
Rebecca, what are your hopes for this residency? I mean, it's got to be exciting to think about what Tunde could bring here in terms of his art. What are your hopes, or can you tell us anything about some of the events that we might see come to fruition here?
Well, we have all of the events listed on our website. Great. So we definitely encourage you to go to taftmuseum.org and to see the full list there. Needless to say, we are going to keep Tunde running around town. So he won't just be at the Taft Museum, but he will be around the city. And that is one of the goals that we have for our residency program. And as Tunde was saying, a lot of times this artistic practice can be solitary work. And when we bring in our annual artist, what we're interested in is really providing a platform for them to engage their work with the community and to have that staff and financial support. Mm-hmm. So we're very interested in doing that. That's always something that we really enjoy, and it's a fun partnership for us either way. I'll say with Tunde, one of the things that really interests us about his work, and as we said earlier, this idea of bringing in a social practice artist, is that we look at our role at the museum to really be a facilitator. And this is a direction for us that is really something we're seeing around the world with museums. We're interested in facilitation. We're interested in providing a space. So my goal is really to create this amenity-filled space for Tunde to do his work. It is not that we are an arbiter. It is not that we are a self-validating authority on art. We're done with that phase of museums. The future of museums is to serve as spaces in which we can be beneficial to our communities and we can be encouraging people to embrace new modes of thought.
Tunde, I understand you. Oh, please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, Rebecca, thank you. That I also feel the same way about my work. And so what people can expect, I think, when they come to some of these events, especially the culinary ones, is that I also want to create a framework. I have my opinions for sure, and I state them publicly and also privately. But the sort of like experiences that we are curating are we create a framework, and then we let the diners and the audience like respond to that and decide how they want to be in those spaces. So I guess similar to what the Taft is doing for like my practice, I want to bring that same energy to to the work that I bring to the Taft, which is like, this is not a space for judgment. I don't think my perspective is judgmental. It's just my perspective. And so creating a framework that reflects my perspective, but then allows folks to be in that framework, whether it's a dinner or a conversation, and then respond to it, and then hopefully learn is sort of like what the goal is.
So Tunde, what impact do you hope your work, these events, will have during your residency here in Cincinnati? I understand you had been to Cincinnati before accepting this residency. What impact are you hoping to have?
Yeah, I don't even mean to sound humble, but I think like impact is a trap. Like I know what impact the work has on me personally. I know how I'm fulfilled or challenged by the work, but I don't. I try not to have any expectations around what happens. I definitely have plans, like I want to see certain things, but I try not to have expectations. I just want folks to come out and to talk and hopefully to think about things differently. The underlying theme of my stay in Cincinnati is to talk about the material conditions of folks, specifically like Black folks, but also all folks. I think this, where we are in terms of the economic reality and how different people are impacted by that is a conversation that we need to have. And so that's like the underlying theme, and I hope people take from that, and I hope what they take is transformative in the larger area.
Tunde, what are some of the common misconceptions or maybe misunderstandings that you think people could have about your work?
I think the biggest one is that people don't know how funny I am. I think it's the same thing that people have with all work that maybe they may not have interacted with. I mean, I'm not immune to misconceptions. Like, oftentimes I see somebody or I see something, and I already have an opinion. And I tell friends that I am a hater. That's just instinctively, that's who I am, you know? But then I'm also many times surprised by how wrong I was or how not right I was. You know, I might have been, you know, right about certain things, but, you know, until you interact with something, you know, and until you really like spend time with it, it's hard to have an opinion, especially if this opinion is like reflexive. You know, I think we need that sort of like reflexive behavior to protect us, you know, because, you know, we're being reflexive based on our experiences. We're also being reflexive based on like how we have been raised, and that those are not our experiences. And so I challenge myself sometimes, not all the time, because that's a lot of work, but sometimes to step outside of what I think is true, and to access different ideas. And so that misconception, or whatever misconception that other people have, I think is what we all share, which is like we tend to judge things that we are not familiar with. And so I just encourage folks, you know, and not even about my work, but just about, you know, how they move in general, that we should just give more things a chance, you know?
Tunde, does this work ever exhaust you? What keeps you going?
It definitely exhausts me. Cash keeps me going. I'm fueled to buy food and to pay rent. I think, but seriously, I'm intellectually challenged. I'm definitely emotionally challenged, and I'm also, when I say emotionally challenged, like I'm not, you know, perfect. I'm not. I don't decide who's racist. I don't decide who is classist. That's not what I want to do. I think that everybody has like personal work that they need to do, that, and I'm trying to do that work. It just happens that my sort of like public facing work is talking about things like this, and I just try to use my own personal experiences, and I bring them to bear in spaces where I'm talking about these like larger issues.
Yeah. Well, we sure are lucky to have you here. I've been talking with Cook and the 2024 Duncanson Artist in Residence, Tunde Wei, and TAF Museum of Art President and CEO, Rebecca Bollier. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. And if you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.